It is you, Lord, who knows my weakness, and you refine me with thy own hand. So, Lord, prepare me to be sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Sanctuary for the Lord God Almighty. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Once again, I'm so glad to see each and every one of you. I'm glad that you got to be a part of this service. It's a very special service. God is an amazing God. Amen. He's raising up a family. He's raising up soldiers. You are soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Open up your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. While you're turning there, I want to thank everyone for all your donations and all your help with the rummage sale. I think that they raised over $400, $437, and so that puts us over $1,500 for the pledge of $2,000 for the shoes for kids. So praise God. Amen. I want to take a moment. Let's while you're turning there, let's say a prayer. This is Memorial Day weekend, and let's say a prayer of gratitude to the Lord for all those who have gave their very life that we might have the freedom to gather this morning in this nation and to stand before God. Pray in your own way. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we're so grateful. We're so thankful, Lord, and we honor those, Lord, that have served and lost their lives, and for those families, Lord, who have had to move on and be touched, Lord, by this bereavement, Lord. But we pray for comfort and peace, and we're so thankful, Lord, that what you have done in and through their lives to be able to establish an opportunity for freedom, Christian freedom, to be able to serve you and to honor you and to allow this to be a port for the gospel to go around the world, Lord. We're so grateful for it. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So, you know, what's on my heart this morning is dedication. Dedication. We had the baby dedication, and it is Memorial Day weekend, and we think about how dedicated men and women were to be able to stand in a place of life and death, and many of them lost their lives for us to be able to have freedom. And so this morning, the question that the Spirit of God has laid on my heart is, how dedicated are we? How dedicated are we? And we're going to look this morning out of 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we're going to see that we need to be dedicated first and foremost to God. But if we're dedicated to God, then we'll be dedicated to grace. And if we're dedicated to grace, grace is going to be dedicated to us. And if grace is dedicated to you, it brings all the promises of God into your life. But we've got to be dedicated to the point that whatever we have said, we will do. Because when we say something, God will back it up. Amen? All right. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Let's look at the first 8 verses. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse number 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramoth and Zophim, double height of watchers, of the mount of Ephraim. And his name was Elkanah, meaning God is obtained. He's the son of Joram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuth, who founded this area, this city. An Ephraite, in other words, he's fruitful. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah. Hannah means favored or grace. Remember that. We'll say grace. Hannah means grace. And then the name of the other was Peninnah, Pearl. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went out of the city yearly to worship, to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah, unto favor, unto grace, he gave a worthy portion, a double portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Verse number 8. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? 10 sons. The number 10 meaning law. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we're so grateful for your presence. We're so grateful for the power of your word. I ask you, Lord, that right now that you just take over my tongue. Give me words to say. Give me unction in the Holy Ghost that will be fresh seed into our lives. Lord, you know where we're at and you know where you'd have us to go individually and corporately. We give you permission to do whatever needs to be done where we can be dedicated fully, 100% to you, to your will, and to your plan to fulfill the call that you have on our lives. We ask this in the name of Jesus, and we all say, amen and amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Glory. So in these verses of Scripture here, we see here this man, he is dedicated to the Lord. He's dedicated. He's made up his mind, no matter what's happening in his life, he's going to serve the Lord. And he's going to lead his house in that direction. He's going to be like the Joshua of his generation. He's going to say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And you and I, we've got to be dedicated in this day and age to say, no matter what comes, no matter what changes in society, no matter what the views are, I know what God's Word says. I know what the Spirit of God feels like in my spirit, and I'm going to be dedicated to Him. I'm going to serve Him. I'm not going to let circumstance determine whether I serve the Lord. I'm not going to let circumstance determine whether I give back to the Lord. I'm not going to let circumstance determine whether I go to the house of God or not, or be a part of His plan. I am going to serve Jesus. Amen? We've got to do that. Now notice what he says here. It gives us instruction about him. It says that he was in a place of watchfulness there in verse number 1, because he was in that city of Ramoth Zephon, and that's what it means. And his heritage was he was an Ephraimite. He was fruitful. He was fruitful. You and I, we are of the vine. Amen. We are of John 15. We are of Jesus Christ. And we're a branch in that vine. And Jesus said that you would bear fruit and your fruit would remain. Amen. So we're a fruitful people, but we've got to be dedicated to what God's called us to do. And so here, notice what it tells us about him. It says in verse number 3 that Elkanah, this man who God had obtained, he went out of his city yearly to worship. Now, of course, this is talking about the three requirements of the feast of the Lord, and he was faithful in those feasts. Today, you and I, we need to be faithful to what God would have us to do. We need to be faithful, and we need to understand that we need to be around each other. We need to help each other. You and I, we were not saved to be an island under ourselves. We were saved to affect each other, to embrace each other, and to exhort one another. And we can't do that if we're not around each other. Amen? And so here he made a dedication to God. He said, I'm going to go. I looked at the map and I tried to get a grasp. I never could get a grasp on how far he traveled each year. Maybe you can. But, you know, some of us, we've got it so easy. We've got churches just within a few miles in every direction. We've got an automobile where we can travel in all ease, but yet we choose not to go to the house of God. You say, well, why are you talking to me? I'm here this morning. I know, but we need to encourage other people to come to the house of the Lord. We need to encourage them to come because, yes, they can pray at home. And, yes, they can worship at home. But there's something about coming under the corporate anointing, coming into a place where God is exalted and people are edified in Him, and there is an anointing of unity to come and to bring truth and to destroy yokes off our lives to be what God would have us to be. Amen. And so here he makes this decree that he's going to go every time that he's destined by the word of God, designated to worship. Now notice this. It says he goes to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts. Now that's a word that we don't want to hear about this morning. Sure, I'll worship, but I don't want to make a sacrifice. When we talk about sacrifice, I want to talk about Jesus' sacrifice. Well, today the Lord wants to talk about our sacrifice. I know it's going to be quiet in here this morning, but he wants to talk about our sacrifice. Jesus gave it all. He paid the entire price that you and I, that we had the assurance that we're going to a heaven for out of all the eternity with the Lord. And we have shunned hell, amen? But we have a call on our life. We have an authorization from heaven to be his ambassador, to be working in the ministry of reconciliation. And the only way that we can do that is that we've got to be alone with him, but we've got to be alone with him together. There's something about coming together. And there's something about obeying the word of God. There's something that changes your life and my life. Hold your place right here. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And let's tie it in to the New Testament worship, to the New Testament feasts of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's start, for sake of time, in verse number 19. Now, it's then talked about the great high priest and about his blood. That brings us into verse 19. I just don't have time. You'll have to cover it in your home study time. But look what it says. Hebrews 10 and 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And notice verse number 20. By a new and living way. By a new and living way. We've got to see that everything in the Old Testament was a type and a shadow of what Jesus was going to fulfill and authorize us to do in the New Testament. When Jesus gave up the ghost, when he gave up his spirit and he fulfilled the word of God, that very veil was torn in two. And as it was torn in two from heaven to earth, it opened up all the possibility of the will and the plan of God in your life and in my life. And so this morning, this new freshly way in Jesus, this new living way. See, the letter of the law would kill, but the grace of God brings life. Amen? And this new living way is Zoe. It's the God kind of life. It's a lifestyle of dedication. It's a lifestyle that you see that when you dedicate yourself to God, that God will be just as dedicated to you as you are to him. I talk to people just like you do, and they don't think God's a good God. They talk about what God won't do, what God has done in the negative, but they won't talk about what God is desiring to do. You know what God's desire this morning is? That you have the God kind, the Zoe, the abundant life. Jesus said the whole reason why I left heaven and come to earth was for you to have abundant life. Amen. Have it more abundantly. That's the Zoe, the God kind of life. And so we've got to get out of religion and we've got to see that I've got to be dedicated to God. If I'm dedicated to God, just like Elkanah was in his household, I'm going to start hearing grace. And if I start hearing grace, I'm going to start receiving all the promises that are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. And if I receive those promises, it'll change my life. Amen? All right. Notice what it says. By a new living way, he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. That veil was his flesh. It was broken for us. And having a high priest over the house of God, this is the command to you and I, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Come on now. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Why? For he is faithful. He is dedicated. He is assured to us. He is faithful that promised. Verse number 24. And let us consider one another to provoke, to incite unto love and to good works. See, you and I today, we've got to see the power of presence. You have a call on your life. You have a gifting in your life. And with that, you have a special anointing. And when you come into the presence of the anointing that's corporate on everyone, that anointing is loosed out of your life in a way that it cannot be when you're by yourself. And so when we come together under that corporate anointing, and your anointing is loosed, and my anointing is loosed, and we're worshiping God, and we're dedicated to Him, we start provoking one another. And as we provoke one another, as we incite one another, as we encourage one another, as we make possibility, as we make promise, not just something that's hoped for, but something by faith that can be ministered into their service, it changes everything. Amen? All right. Notice what he says in verse number 25. You know the verse very well. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much more the more as you see the day approaching. Now, everybody that you talk to will agree that the day of the Lord's coming. It's nigh. We're talking about the birth pains of this earth, age. Things is fixing to happen. The trumpet is going to sound. Amen. So the day of the Lord is approaching. And we need to provoke one another, but we've got to come to the house of God. You will not have an urgency watching television. I will not have an urgency sitting there watching television, getting numb to the things of God, getting numb. There's nothing wrong with TV. But there's a time and place for everything. And right now, you and I need to be in the place where, what does God want me to do? What is He wanting me to be dedicated to? You have more at your disposal than you've ever dreamed of. The Bible says that you're a soldier of the Most High God. And in the soldier, on this day that we're talking about Memorial Day, in the soldier of the Most High God, you have every arsenal available to you. It's time that we stop worrying about flesh and blood and we recognize where the enemy truly is. Amen? It's in spiritual wickedness in high places. It's in Ephesians 6, goes into great detail and tells us that. But we've got to be equipped. We've got to be equipped and we've got to be dedicated to, so we'll know how to use what God's gave us. And if we don't put it to practice, somebody may not come into their destiny. Amen? All right. Let's go back to 1 Samuel. Now, notice it said in verse number 3, once again, that this man went up out of his city yearly to worship. He went to out of his place of watchfulness to Shiloh. Shiloh is the place where the tent was. It was the place where the presence of God was, where the Ark of the Covenant was. But Shiloh means tranquil. Tranquil. So he went from his place of watching to a place where he could be full with tranquility. He could be full of the peace of God. Jesus said in Isaiah 26:3, the mind that is stayed upon me is kept in perfect peace. The reason why God's people don't have the peace of God that passeth all understanding is because they're not doing what God said to do. We've got to be dedicated to God. He'll be dedicated to us. Amen. And so here this man was. He made this journey. This morning, I want you to be in the place and the position that you're willing to help somebody make the journey. Help them to go where they need to go, where God can meet them and do what He wants to do in their life. Amen? All right. Now notice, it said that he yearly done this to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts. Now, this is so important because we need to see that this same, not this feast, but the feast of dedication that John chapter 10, I believe it's verse 22 that Jesus talks about. It says that the feast of dedication was in the winter. The things that God asked you to do is going to most of the time come in the winter time of your life. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean the cold times, the hard times, the times when it isn't the liberty of the feel good and the liberty of everything is right. It's going to be in the harder times. And so in the feast of dedication, when you and I choose to be dedicated to the Lord like this man, we're going to have to make an effort. And you're going to have to say, I'm going to go for my calling. I'm going to go for my love for the Lord. And I'm going to go for my love for people. And I'm not going to let somebody keep me out of the house of God. Because notice what the Word said. The last part of verse number 3. Now, this is interesting and very critical that we get it. Look what it says. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. Now, see, how many times do you hear people say, I'm not going to church because there are hypocrites in the church? Come on, every one of us has heard that. Why do you think that he put that verse in there? That's not a side note. That's to help you to see that Elkanah, he had made up his mind. Elkanah, he had made up his mind for him and his household. He didn't care if there was somebody at the house of God that was a hypocrite. He didn't care that they weren't doing right, even though they had a role and a position. Because he wasn't going for them. He was going for him and his God. Amen? Because the Bible tells us that they were the most wicked. They called them the sons of Belial. But he didn't let that change him. This morning, there's people won't come to the house of God because they've been hurt. And the people who've hurt them have a religious spirit, a religious attitude. They don't have the love of God. They haven't done what Jesus said. They haven't went back and made things right. You and I today, we've got to be in the place of filling in the gap. We are the ones who have been called to be a modern day Ezekiel. We're to fill in that gap and to stand in that place and position as we watch and bring people together by the power of God and by the Spirit of God. Amen? It's your role. It's my role. But we'll never do it if we're not made up our mind, no matter what's happening. Now, notice here. It says that Elkanah, he was very faithful. He gave his wife, Peninnah, and his her sons and her daughters all the portions. But I love this in verse number 5. But unto Hannah, he gave a worthy portion, a double portion. Now remember I said Hannah means favored or grace. See, you sow into grace, grace will sow into you. You're dedicated to grace, God will be dedicated to you. Today we're wanting a lot of things and we're needing a lot of things. But we got to make up our mind, even though it looks like there's nothing productive in Hannah. There is. Nothing productive in grace. Everything comes from grace. We would have nothing if it wasn't for the grace of God. Amen? And so he is dedicated to her. Even though he had a... Now let's go back to the times of what we're talking about. In this season of life, in this time in history, he could have walked away from her. He had every legal right, her being married, to divorce her and to leave her. And he would not have been judged. But he loved her. Now I'm talking to somebody this morning by the unction of the Holy Ghost. Don't leave grace this morning just because you haven't seen it produce what the Word says it will produce. Come on now. Some of you believe for some things by the grace of God if it hasn't happened in your life. Don't get angry. Don't get resentful. Don't get fearful. Don't get doubtful. Trust in God. Grace will always produce. Amen? But it's going to produce in God's time. He decided to what? To give into it. He sowed into grace, and grace sowed back into him. Amen? We've got to see that. We've got to believe it. Now notice, it says there that Hannah had in verse number 6, Hannah had an adversary. It says, and her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret. Now, that's what the devil, he is as an adversary. He is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, right? 1 Peter 5:8. We all know it. We all quote it. But that adversary is here to make you fret. That word fret from the Hebrew, it means to tumble. To tumble you. But Jesus said, as long as you're founded upon the rock, him, the Word, you cannot fall. Amen? And so, when the adversary starts talking to you, you stay in the grace. Hannah, she was the grace. And see, all of his words went out because her being barren, it reflected in this time and day on her husband. But that didn't bother him because he loved grace. Now, come on now. I'm trying my best. I want you to know this morning that God is dealing with somebody in particular this morning. And I'm going to follow him whether you get with me or not. Listen to me. I don't want you to give up on grace. I want you to hold on to grace because it's going to produce in your life. It's going to bring to pass what God's promised, what He's destined to you. But you've got to believe it. You've got to let it work. And here, as the adversary was bringing all this accusation and trying to bring all this division, remember, it's just like Sarah and Hagar. Remember, Galatians chapter 4 gives us great insight. Hagar, she produced a child of what? The flesh. But Sarah produced the child of the Spirit, the child of promise, Isaac, that brings laughter. God's going to bring some laughter in your life if you'll hold on to grace this morning, if you'll be dedicated to God. Okay, we'll just have to break to the chase. Look, now, Grace had made a promise. Grace come to God. And that's what Jesus does. Jesus is God's grace. And Jesus is praying for you. He's praying for me. He ever liveth, Hebrews 10:25, to make intercession for the saints. And He's prayed for you this morning. He wants you to receive grace, come and bow down before God. And Eli says in verse number 1 and 17, Eli answered Hannah, Grace, and he said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition which thou have asked of him. What did she do? She asked for Samuel. That's why Samuel's name means ask of God. And she got what she asked for. Grace will always produce what it asks for. This morning, what is the Spirit of God revealing to you in a new facet of grace? What do you need to ask God for? But you need to know that as grace talks, you need to do your part. And if you'll do your part, grace will do its part. Amen? So she asked God, and all of a sudden, God supernaturally, He opens up her womb, and she produces Samuel. And she has this productivity in her life. But it didn't stop there. He has three brothers and two sisters. See, you give to God, God always gives back to you, because she lent Samuel to the Lord, the Bible says. But God give her even more. God's got more for you than you've ever dreamed of this morning. Don't settle for just being saved and not going to hell. Accept and receive grace that'll bring abundant life, that'll bring healing, that'll bring peace, that'll bring deliverance, that'll bring God's provision in fullness in your life this morning. He doesn't want you to keep your nose to the grindstone. He doesn't want you to be without. The devil's what's stealing from you, not God. God's wanting to give you everything this morning, but you've got to be dedicated to Him, and you've got to believe Him and be in your place to receive. It comes out in places that you don't think it will. It comes in times that you don't think it will. Amen? All right. Notice real quick, and we'll close. Verse number 22, 1 Samuel 1:22. I just had to hit the high points on this. But Hannah went not up with her husband, because it was time for him to go back up to the house of God, because she said, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, Samuel, that he may appear before the Lord, and notice this, and there abide forever. Now, that's what she said she was going to do. And in verse 24, it says, and when she had weaned him, weaned Samuel, she took him up with her, with three bullocks, one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought Samuel, the ass, unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, in tranquility, and the child was young. Now notice this. She tells him in verse 27, she tells Eli, she says, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask, Samuel, which I ask of him. Verse 28, therefore I have lent him unto the Lord. And as long as he liveth, he shall be lent unto the Lord. Now notice what happens. And he worshiped the Lord there. This is bigger than you and me. See what grace done? Grace brought Samuel in their life. But grace caused Samuel at 3 years of age to be able to worship the Lord. There's a harvest getting ready to come in. They're going to be babes. The Bible says when you get born again in Jesus, you're a babe in Christ. We're going to see some babes worship the Lord. We're going to see them. And Jesus said, out of the mouth of babes is perfected praise. And when perfected praise takes place in this house, in your house, guess what? Jesus Christ is exalted. And He said, when I be lifted up, I'll draw all men into me. Come on now. This is a good place to shout. I'm telling you, God's going to do some things. He's going to raise up some young folks. He's going to raise up some babes in Him. And their praise to the Lord, their dedication of the Lord, is going to accomplish His will in these last days. Pray with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank You, Lord, that the time that we've had, as short as it's been in this word, I ask that You would take what I tried to do in my lacking way, Lord, and You make it manifest in every person's life. By the anointing of the Spirit of God, You speak to people. Lord, You're wanting to do some things in people's lives this morning. You're wanting to bring them from one side to the other side. You're wanting to take them
to a place of tranquility. You're wanting to take them to a place of abundant lifestyle, that Zoe kind of life. You're wanting to take them to the place where they see their role and they're faithful in it, and they allow your grace to bring every promise that's just an amen in their life. Let it be this morning, Father. Let it be. Holy Spirit, you take over. Right now, and you draw. We'll yield to you. We'll follow you as you lead us to Jesus. Let it be. We ask you, Father, in Jesus' name. Would you come this morning? Would you come this morning and make yourself an altar? If the Spirit of God is speaking to you, if He's dealing with you this morning, come. God wants to bless you, but He wants to show you areas of your life that maybe you could be just a little bit more dedicated in. Now, what do I mean by that? I'm not browbeating you. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm saying if you are not allowing grace to bring every promise into your life, I'm talking to myself, if I'm not allowing grace to bring every promise to my life, I'm not being dedicated in that promise. Amen? Now, He promised us in Acts 16:12, He said, "You and your household shall be saved." Now, if we believe that, but if we don't, we need to be more dedicated in that and let grace work. Amen? Would you come this morning? There's somebody here this morning, you're hurting. And God wants to meet you where you're at. And that grace will take care of that pain. Would you come in the name of Jesus?